All right. So what do you make of the AAV over 5 years, just 1 year of unrestricted free agency being bought?
I'm not surprised. I think this has been brewing for quite some time. I think both sides have come to realize that this was going to happen. And it's a new day. You know, the things are changing in the National Hockey League. Players are not afraid to use their leverage anymore. We're seeing that more and more happening. You know, Tavares last year, Panarin this year, Matthews kind of turning the salary structure over a bit. Players, star players are demanding a bigger share of the pie. They're demanding it earlier. I think their teams are going to look at it and say, boy, this is really going to change the way that business gets done in hockey, and we're not exactly happy about that. But, you know, I think, guys, one of the biggest things that has happened is that, you know, for years and years and years, I've been predicting that offer sheets were coming. And I'm like the person who predicts the housing bubble is eventually going to pop. Eventually, you're right. And I think this year I have a chance to be right. I believe teams do think they're coming. And I just think at the end of the day, Toronto looked at it and said, look, either we set the terms here or someone else is going to set them for us. And I think they had reason to believe that that could occur. And plus, I think the other thing, too, is I think Matthews wanted to get this done. So between all of those things together, that's why we are where we are.
Well, let's start there then, because Ben and I were talking about precedent, and we've been told for a little while now when we've been talking to CJ about how impactful the Matthews and Marner deals are going to be on the rest of the RFA landscape, because in the past, it's always felt like the team still had leverage at that point. And now this deal kind of seems to indicate that the power has completely swung the opposite way, and that this sets up very nicely if you're the Patrick Laines of the world or anyone else that's going to be entering restricted free agency that has numbers to back it up.
I think that's all true. You know, I think that is all true. I think that the world is changing. And I think you're totally right. I think it began to change with the McDavid number. You know, that was such a higher number than we were used to. And remember, he even gave some back.
Oh, yeah.
He was so uncomfortable with the initial number of 13.25, he gave some back. And so I think that's totally true. I think as of today, the business has changed. Look what happened. So there's all these RFAs that are up on July 1st. You know, teams were saying, oh, we want to wait to see what happens with Nylander. We're not going to sign. Or teams were saying, the players were telling them, let's wait to see what happens with Nylander. So then Nylander signs. They're like, okay, let's reengage in discussions with these guys. And all of a sudden, the players started saying, no, we want to wait to see. Maybe we'll wait a bit later, because they heard all the rumors about one offer sheets, and they figured somebody had to go first. And if somebody was going to go first, that somebody was probably going to get a big number. And that is Matthews, and that's exactly what happened. And I think every NHL team, I think they all suspected it, but now they know it. The business has changed.
Yeah. No, the only restricted free agents reside in Toronto. They only play for there's nobody else that's also a restricted free agent at the end of the season. So do you get a sense, Elliot, that there was a deal to be done preseason and that it would have been more favorable to the team as opposed to the one that we see today?
You know, I think that I do think that if they had done it before the season, it was probably around eight times. My guess is, and this is my guess, it was probably around eight times. I like this 0.34 thing. So I'll say eight times, you know, maybe 12.34 or something like that. And at the time, I just don't think Toronto wanted to do that. And, I think that as he got off, then he gets off to the great starts. Like, if you take a look at a lot of these RFAs, Laine wanted to wait. And for a time in November, it looked like ka-ching. And now we're going to see. You know, Rantanen wanted to wait. And that looks like it's going to work out really well for him. You know, I think that, you know, the Maple Leafs just weren't sure they wanted to go that high at that particular position. And, you know, he gets out to a dynamite start. And all of a sudden, your ass goes up. And this is where we are. I think that's one of the questions you always ask. Like, if at the moment Tavares signed, do you go to Matthews and say, we'll offer you, you know, Tavares is 7 times 11. We'll do 8 times 11.5, 8 times 12. I mean, it's hindsight, but I guess you always ask yourself those questions. I just think that at the beginning of the year, the number for Matthews on an 8-year deal was probably 12-something, and at the time, I just don't think the Maple Leafs were comfortable with that. And when Matthews got out to a big start, I think the ask got even bigger. I think it was somewhere my guess, not saying that I've been told that, it was somewhere between 13 and 14 million a year, and they weren't going to be able to keep their team together with that.
Yeah, I guess that's what I've been having the most difficult time reconciling with as a Leaf fan, is thinking, I just don't get the logic behind how you wouldn't be comfortable with giving Austin Matthews that term, or how that wouldn't have been that immediate priority. Like, you have John Tavares to a 7-year contract.
I think they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there was ever a question that they wanted to give him 8 years. I think at that point in time, you're sitting there and you're saying, how can we keep this all together?
Yeah. It's just that losing 3 years of Austin Matthews, of his free agent years, just feels like that's such a loss. And to see the number come down to only 11.634. It just doesn't feel like there's, I get it, that everyone wanted to make things work over the next couple of seasons, and that, you know, this makes it easier to get the Kapanens and the Andreas Janssens in, and had he taken that $12 or $13 million, that's not a possibility. It's just that I'm wondering if that's worth losing those extra years.
Well, you're such a Debbie Downer, JD.
Oh, I'm big time Debbie Downer.
Huge.
I'm sorry.
You don't know the half of it.
Celebrating today and listen to you.
I'm down on it.
I think, you know what, I get it. Like, I understand, and I think that, you know, I think that there's all these questions are going to be asked. Could you have, I'm sure that both sides are going to be sitting there saying, could we have done this here? Could we have done this there? And I think that always comes up. I think that what this is going to do is, I'm sure there's a lot of teams are going to look at this and say, we've got to start getting these contracts done as early as possible. You know, you'll remember years ago, 6 years ago, I think it almost is now, the Oilers were ripped for signing Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to 6 and 7 year deals at $6 million per. They were ripped for those deals. And how much money did they and the other teams that had those players save because they did that? Now, I think part of the problem is, as I said earlier, there's going to be players who are going to say, you know what? No, I'd rather wait. You can't sign me now. But I think that what this is going to tell teams is, the earlier you can get it done, the better off you're going to be. I think at the end of the day, though, the interesting one is, now how does the rest fill in? They've got, for example, Trevor Moore signed to a good contract. They've got Riley and they've got Kadri signed to really good contracts. They've got, two more years of Anderson at a really good contract. I mean, they have some good contracts around there that are going to be able to make this work. You're going to have to juggle. You're going to have to be creative. And the other thing, too, is, 5 years, I get it. Like, we could all be hit by a bus in 5 years. You have time to figure things out. And depending on where the cap goes, maybe it's not, he's going to get a massive deal when he's however many years old, 26, 27 years old. But if the cap goes, you could probably deal with it. I mean, it's just, I'm not the kind of guy, maybe it's just the way I live my life. I'm not worried about years 6, 7, and 8.
Me neither.
I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And say, okay, how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
I would like to acknowledge that I am a massive hypocrite because I want Vlad Jr. up immediately, and yet I'm very worried about years, of those other seasons. So I'm putting a hand up. Like,
that is someone else's problem.
Yeah, okay. I got a hand up that there's a hypocritical nature to everything that I'm doing.
But that's just money, though. That's not an uncapped lead.
Yes, but okay, this is where, ultimately, when you boil it all down, as I said before, this is a good day for the Leafs because you get clarity. The player wants to be here for 5 seasons. I think it's being reiterated that yes, and if you're reading into what you're saying to us, is that this doesn't have anything to do with Austin Matthews wanting out of Toronto earlier. This just comes down to everything making this work, and you're going to have the prime years of the best player the Leafs have had in a really long time. Those things are all great. Like, I'm with you on this. I guess the little bit of disappointment.
I'm just being funny. I'm just poking funny.
No. But it's fair. But it's fair to poke fun of me. And people should be like, I think this is kind of part of the fun of this discussion. I guess the part to me that is a little bit disappointing, or I guess that kind of hits me in the face, is Ben and I have always said forever that we think star players should act this way, that they should be asking for more money, that the Connor McDavid shouldn't be going back to the table giving $1 million back so that they can give it to Ryan Spooner. Like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. These guys should be gambling on themselves. They should be pushing this to the wire. But it isn't something that we have seen a lot of in the past, that generally the best players like Sidney Crosby, like Connor McDavid did, have gone back and said, all right, I'm going to take a little bit of a haircut. And so far, heading into all of this, when it was on your podcast and we first heard We Can and We Will, I think kind of the assumption of that was we can and we will because all of these guys are buying into taking a little bit less and realizing that what we have here is special and that those contracts you mentioned, the Andersons, the Morgan Rileys, the Kadrys, that those all play a part in this, that these guys have these sweetheart deals and that if these guys also just take a little bit less, it will give the Leafs so much flexibility to have this incredible window to win. And so far what we've seen is William Nylander go to the wall and get basically as much as anyone thought he was going to get, a little bit more than everyone projected he was going to get. If we're talking about Austin Matthews' projections, we are pretty close to that number, but with extra years of term, that it so far the case seems to have been with these players that there is not any type of discount to stay with Toronto. And I guess that is, I wonder if that was maybe a miscalculation on Dubas's and Shanahan's part.
I don't know if it was a miscalculation. I just think that, look, the world is changing. Like, we always complain that hockey players, they have no personality and they're duds and stuff like that. I think the world is changing. I think this generation of hockey players, they do have a lot of personality, and they're not afraid to stand up for themselves, maybe in more subtle ways. Like, you know, the NBA, which, you know, we all love the craziness of that league. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious. I don't know if a lot of hockey guys are quite out like that, but privately, I think they do stand up for themselves. And they do say why. And they do say, no, I'm not afraid to challenge a little bit. And I think that that manifested itself in these conversations. Like, Matthews doesn't show a lot of himself publicly. But, you know, the stuff I've seen from him indicates to me that there's a really calm, self-assured guy who's very comfortable in his own skin and is just... He believes in himself, and he believes in the decision that he's going to make. And I think all of, like, this happens because this contract is in Toronto. It gets all of the atmosphere and it gets all of the oxygen. And God knows, once we're done talking about this, we're going to go move on to the next offer sheet that's coming for a Maple Leaf. But I think that's the change that is coming, JD. It's that this next generation of players, they're going to change the way that the salaries are given out. They're going to ask for more money younger. Yeah. They're going to stand up for themselves a little bit more. They're changing the sport. And I think we're seeing evidence of that. You know, I think that, you know, yes. Again, Matthews could have tried to take more money. Look, the Scotiabank just put their name on the building for $800 million. Okay. Like, that, you know, a lot of that is the guy who signed his contract extension today. So you could still argue he's underpaid. The fact is that every NHL team, whether they say it publicly or not, they saw this change coming. And Toronto's been at the forefront of that because of the two contracts that have come up this year. And I'm sure a lot of teams wish that Toronto would have taken a harder line, but everybody knows that this was coming.
Yeah, we'll see. And, maybe Point and Rantanen and get paid theirs this offseason again. They're not eligible to be offer sheet.
I blame smart hockey people like you, Elliot, for pointing out how good young players are and their value, and this is kind of your fault. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
well, but you know what? Like, that's the thing. Like, we're talking about it all the time. Why don't the young players get paid? Because they're the ones in their prime years. And now they're getting paid, and everybody's complaining about that, too. Well, that, I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Well, no, beyond that, it's like the superstars should get paid, and it's the guys that are the filler players that should probably be taking a haircut. Marner's not a filler player, and we'll let you go after this, Elliot, and we appreciate the time. But so what does this mean for Mitch Marner? What's the trickle-down effect, in your opinion?
Well, you know, the agent, Darren Ferris, has been on record as saying that, you know, they're going to wait to the end of the year. You know, if I'm the Leafs, I'm not listening to that now. I'm going right after him. I'm saying end the circus.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, this has been a circus this year, and a lot of us in the media, you know, we've created it. Not me, but everybody else.
We're not relevant enough.
That's kind of what's happened this year. Like, I'm going to him now, and I'm saying we're ending this.
Yeah.
And we're coming for you, and we're going to try to close this. And I think that's what they're going to do. Does it work or not? I think that'd still be determined. But I do think they're going to say to him, look, Tavares is signed. Nylander is signed. Matthews is signed. It's just you. It's time. And they'll work at getting it done.
Okay, I want to outline this as you are not reporting this, that this, I'm asking you for your opinion.
Please don't.
I know. I was going to say, this is an opinion. This is an opinion. And actually, you know what? I'll even put it in clearer terms. If it was you, would you be going at Marner with the premise of, okay, well, this is now a five-year window. Let's make it easier and have him under the same five-year window. Or are you trying to lock him up to as many years as possible?
I am trying not to have them all come up at the same time.
Okay.
So you see, so after this year, Matthew's going to have 5 years, and Tavares is going to have six, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think it's 4 years for Marner until he's a UFA. Double-check on that one. I'm not, if that's the case, like, they weren't doing 4 years with Matthews because you're not walking him right to UFA. So if Marner is 4 years away, you're not doing that. But you're trying to say is, now, again, you probably can't do eight or seven. Same reason as Matthews, but you're trying to see if there's, I guess you could have two up at the same time and one up another, but you really want to be in a situation where you don't have everybody coming up at once. So I'm not sure what the answer is there. It's probably five or six again, but you know, I think that that's what you're trying to do.